Grace was downstairs again at 7:30, telling the servants breakfast would be postponed till 9. She nailed the stockings beside the fireplace, went into the music room to see that nothing had been disturbed, and removed Ted's hat and overcoat from where he had carefully hung them on the hall floor. Tom appeared a little before 9 and suggested that the children ought to be awakened. "I'll wake them," said Grace, and went upstairs. She opened Ted's door, looked, and softly closed it again. She entered her daughter's room and found Caroline semi-conscious.
"Do I have to get up now? Honestly, I can't eat anything. If you could just have Maula bring me some coffee. Ted and I are both invited to the Murdochs for breakfast at 12:30, and I could sleep for another hour or two." "But, dearie, don't you know we have Christmas dinner at 1? "Oh, it's a shame, Mother, but I thought, of course, our dinner would be at night." "Don't you want to see your presents?" "Certainly I do, but can't they wait?"
Grace was about to go to the kitchen to tell the cook that dinner would be at 7 instead of 1, but she remembered having promised Signa the afternoon and evening off, as a cold light supper would be all anyone wanted after the heavy midday meal. Tom and Grace breakfasted alone and once more sat in the living room, talking, thinking, and pretending to read. "You ought to speak to Caroline," said Tom. "I will, but not today. It's Christmas. And I intend to say a few words to Ted." "Yes, dear, you must, but not today."
"Oh, I suppose they'll be out again tonight."
"No, they promised to stay home. We'll have a nice, cozy evening."
"Don't bet too much on that," said Tom.
At noon, the children made their entrance and responded to their parents' salutations with almost the proper warmth. Ted declined a cup of coffee, and he and Caroline apologized for making a breakfast date at the Murdochs.
"Sis and I both thought you'd be having dinner at 7, as usual."
"We've always had it at 1 o'clock on Christmas," said Tom.
"Oh, I'd forgotten it was Christmas," said Ted.
"Well, those stockings ought to remind you." Ted and Caroline looked at the bulging stockings.
"Isn't there a tree?" asked Caroline.
"Of course," said her mother, "but the stockings come first." "We've only a little time," said Caroline. "We'll be terribly late as it is, so can't we see the tree now?"
"I guess so," said Grace, and led the way into the music room.
The servants were summoned, and the tree stared at and admired.
"You must open your presents," said Grace to her daughter.
"I can't open them all now," said Caroline. "Tell me which is special." The cover was removed from the huge box, and Grace held up the coat.
"Oh, Mother," said Caroline, "a sealskin coat."
"Put it on," said her father.
"And not now. We haven't time."
"Then look at this," said Grace, and opened the case of jewels.
"Oh, Mother, opals," said Caroline.
"They're my favorite stones," said Grace, quietly. "If nobody minds," said Ted, "I'll postpone my personal investigation till we get back. I know I'll like everything you've given me, but if we have no car in working order, I've got to call a taxi and catch a train."
"You can drive in," said his father.
"Did you fix a brake?"
"Oh, I think it's all right. Come up to the garage and we'll see."
Ted got his hat and coat and kissed his mother goodbye.
"Mother," he said, "I know you'll forgive me for not having any presents for you and Dad. I was so rushed the last 3 days of school, and I thought I'd have time to shop a little when we got in yesterday. But I was in too much of a hurry to be home. Last night everything was closed."
"Don't worry," said Grace.
"Christmas is for young people. Dad and I have everything we want."
The servants had found their gifts and disappeared, expressing effusive Scandinavian thanks. Caroline and her mother were left alone.
"Mother, where did the coat come from?"
"Lloyd and Henry's."
"They keep all kinds of furs, don't they?"
"Yes."
"Would you mind horribly if I exchanged this?" Well, certainly not, dear. You pick out anything you like, and if it's a little more expensive, it won't make any difference. We can go in town tomorrow or next day. But don't you want to wear your opals to the Murdochs?
I don't believe so. They might get lost or something, and I'm not, well, I'm not so crazy about...
I think they can be exchanged, too, said Grace. You run along now and get ready to start.
Caroline obeyed with alacrity, and Grace spent a welcome moment by herself.
Tom opened the garage door. Why, you've got two cars, said Ted.
The new one isn't mine, said Tom.
Whose is it?
Yours. It's the new model.
Dad, that's wonderful. But it looks just like the old one.
Well, the old one's pretty good. Just the same, yours is better. You'll find that out when you drive it. Hop in and get started. I had her filled with gas.
I think I'd rather drive the old one.
Why?
Well, what I really wanted, Dad, was a barn sport roadster. Something like Paul Murdoch's, only a different color scheme. And if I don't drive this Gorham at all, maybe you could get him to take it back or make some kind of deal with the Barnes people.
Tom didn't speak till he was sure of his voice. Then,
all right, son, take my car and I'll see what can be done about yours.
Caroline, waiting for Ted, remembered something and called to her mother.
Here's what I got for you and Dad, she said. It's two tickets to Jolly Jane, the play I saw last night. You'll love it.
When are they for? Asked Grace.
Tonight, said Caroline.
But, dearie, said her mother, we don't want to go out tonight when you promised to stay home.
We'll keep our promise, said Caroline. But the Murdochs may drop in and bring some friends, and we'll dance, and there'll be music. And Ted and I both thought you'd rather be away somewhere so our noise wouldn't disturb you.
It was sweet of you to do this, said her mother. But your father and I don't mind noise as long as you're enjoying yourselves.
It's time, anyway, that you and Dad had a treat.
The real treat, said Grace, would be to spend a quiet evening here with just you two.
The Murdochs practically invited themselves, and I couldn't say no after they'd been so nice to me. And honestly, Mother, you'll love this play.
Will you be home for supper?
I'm pretty sure we will. But if we're a little late, don't you and Dad wait for us. Take the 7:20 so you won't miss anything. The first act is really the best. We probably won't be hungry, but have Signa leave something out for us in case we are.
Tom and Grace sat down to the elaborate Christmas dinner and didn't make much impression on it. Even if they had had any appetite, the 16-pound turkey would have looked almost like new when they had eaten their fill. Conversation was intermittent and related chiefly to Signa's excellence as a cook and the mildness of the weather. Children and Christmas were barely touched on. Tom merely suggested that on account of its being a holiday and their having theater tickets, they ought to take the 6:10 and eat supper at the Metropole. His wife said no. Ted and Caroline might come home and be disappointed at not finding them. Tom seemed about to make some remark, but changed his mind. The afternoon was the longest Grace had ever known. The children were still absent at 7, and she and Tom taxied to the train. Neither talked much on the way to town. As for the play, which Grace was sure to love, it turned out to be a rehash of Cradle Snatchers and Sex, retaining the worst features of each. When it was over, Tom said, "Now I'm inviting you to the Cove Club. You didn't eat any breakfast or dinner or supper, and I can't have you starving to death on a feast day. Besides, I'm thirsty as well as hungry." They ordered the special table d'hôte and struggled hard to get away with it. Tom drank 6 highballs, but they failed to produce the usual effect of making him jovial. Grace had 1 highball and some kind of cordial that gave her a warm, contented feeling for a moment. But the warmth and contentment left her before the train was halfway home. The living room looked as if Von Kluck's army had just passed through. Ted and Caroline had kept their promise, up to a certain point. They had spent part of the evening at home, and the Murdochs must have brought all their own friends, and everybody else's, judging from the results. The tables and floors were strewn with empty glasses, ashes, and cigarette stubs. The stockings had been torn off their nails, and the wrecked contents were all over the place. Two sizable holes had been burnt in Grace's favorite rug. Tom took his wife by the arm and led her into the music room. "You never took the trouble to open your own present," he said. "And I think there's one for you, too," said Grace. "They didn't come in here," she added, "so I guess there wasn't much dancing or music." Tom found his gift from Grace, a set of diamond studs and cuff buttons for festive wear. Grace's present from him was an opal ring. "Oh, Tom," she said. "We'll have to go out somewhere tomorrow night so I can break these in," said Tom. "Well, if we do that, we'd better get a good night's rest," said Tom. "I'll beat you upstairs!"